Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
We wanted to get an update as to what the reaction is with regard to the Kill the Boer ruling. We've been talking about that all morning. Most of you feeling very strongly about this. Ernest Ruetz is the head of policy and action at AfriForum. Good morning. Thanks for joining us today. Were you shocked? Were you surprised by the ruling?
Yes, thank you very much. Well, I think it's important to say you can never predict the judgment.
Of course.
And we don't want to try to do that. But we were quite confident that we would win the case because we believe our arguments were quite strong. So yes, in a sense, we were shocked or surprised by the judgment. And that's why it didn't take us very long after the judgment to reach a conclusion that we need to file an appeal. And I think to be very honest, I think, filing an appeal would be fairly easy. You know, we have to apply for leave to appeal and then go on appeal. But I think there were some serious errors that were made in the reasoning behind the judgment.
So what were some of those errors?
Well, the main overarching thing here is how do you determine whether something constitutes hate speech?
Right.
And our view is that the judge in this case did not apply the law properly and did not apply the test for what is hate speech properly. And that's the main issue here. But then there were other issues like the way in which the judge or the court dealt with, for example, witnesses, where he simply literally, you know, he just dismissed every single witness that was put forth by AfriForum, didn't pay any attention to that. And then he had this, what we regard as a strange approach to the evidence that was led by Julius Malema, where he made some, for example, really atrocious things, comments in court, which strengthens our argument that this is a case of hate speech, which were ignored by the judge. But then on the other hand, you know, everything that he said that could remotely be interpreted as mitigating to his circumstances was accepted by the judge. So
why is that? Do you think this was a political decision? Do you think it was to try and placate the EFF? Were there other reasons, in your view, besides pure legal reasoning that led the judge to rule this way?
I don't want to speculate about the motives of the judge, but what I can tell you is that we don't think the law was applied properly. It's unfortunate. I don't know why the judge took this particular approach. He might have good reasons for it, and we'll see what a different court says when you take the matter on appeal. But it is a strange ruling. I mean, we had in this case, it's a leader of one of the biggest political parties the third biggest political party in the country, testifying under oath in a case of hate speech that he might one day call on his supporters to go out and slaughter people based on the color of their skin. And it doesn't seem to us that the judge, the court, took any cognizance of this. So it's a strange judgment in our view, but there's still a long road ahead. That's how it goes with these type of court cases. It's up and down, and it's like a zigzag in a sense. So we'll see. We'll see how it turns out.
What about the argument that the judge made that this is actually really part of there's a political history, political discourse, and that is why this song is to be allowed? What was he saying in that sense?
Yeah, so I think that's an important point, and it's something that has to be debated. And if I were the judge in this case, I would also, you know, consider that and include that as part of my ruling to say, listen, this is not, it's not just a song that the EFF made up on the spot. There is a historical context to the song, and we testify to that effect as well, you know, saying that we recognize that there is a historical context. Our concern, however, is that the song used to be sung, or the chant used to be chanted, in the context of the struggle against the apartheid system. And since then, what we've been told by, you know, people who've been singing the song, the ANC and so forth, is that the song is sung as a way to commemorate the struggle. That's not Malema's response. His response is that he's singing the song because apartheid is not over. The struggle continues, which means...
carry on, and then I'll ask...
No. And that means that to him, that there's a clear call to action. It's not just commemorating the past. He's singing the song because he's trying to incite people to take some form of action. And that strengthens our argument.
And isn't that key to it? Because if for example, and in fact, if you just remove this from the South African discourse and look at Australia, Australia has banned the use of the swastika, the display of the swastika, as many countries have done. But you're allowed to display it for educational purposes. In other words, the context and intention is absolutely everything. So if you sing Kill the Boer and what you mean by it is to, I don't know, illustrate and educate people is one thing. If Malema is singing it with a clear intention of saying, of inciting people or saying that, you know, as a threat and then backing that up by saying, well, we're not saying kill people yet, but we might say it in the the future. Then surely it actually all rests on his intention, not on the words of the song itself, but actually all about the intention that he had and has when singing it.
In a way, yes. Although the test for hate speech does not rest on the intention of the person, you know, making this claim. Because the person would always say, when taken to court, no, I didn't have any intention to do this. So that's not entirely the test, but what we have to look at, and that is what the test for hate speech entails, is you have to look at context, as you rightly said. And context, you know, requires of us to look at a wide variety of factors that play a role. And in this case, part of the context here is Julius Malema has been encouraging his members to commit crime. I mean, that's no secret. He's been saying to them, if you see a farm that belongs to a white person and you think it's a beautiful farm, take it, it's yours. He's been making all sorts of comments to that effect. And then, you know, he says all white people are criminals and they should be treated like criminals. And then he bursts into song saying, kill the Boer, kill the farmer. So that's part of the context. But the in terms of the legal test, the question is not what is his intention. The question is, could the statement be reasonably construed to have the intention to cause harm. So it's more an objective test. Could a reasonable person construe that the intention of this statement is to cause harm, as opposed to is his actual intention to cause harm?
So another question that we always debate here is who gets to decide? In other words, as Jews, we are very, very used to other people telling us what they consider, what is anti-Semitism and what isn't. And that's quite offensive in a way. Black South Africans have the same issue, that, you know, don't tell us what is racist. We've lived this. We breathe this. We understand racism, white and black racism more than you understand it. Doesn't the same thing apply here? Isn't it? If this is considered racist to the Afrikaans community, then surely it's racist, isn't? And it's hate speech. It's just
In a way, yes. Although it's not that simple, because you can also abuse that type of approach. And I can just come.
Yes, of course.
And that is racist.
Yeah, so, I'm not talking about it to the extreme, but I'm just talking about the very simple concept. Or yes, kill the Boer actually does sound pretty aggressive on the face of it.
Yeah, so that is exactly part of the test of hate speech is, and that's why, for example, we had victims of farm attacks testifying, not because our argument is that, for example, Duncan Prinsloo's wife was murdered because the song was sung. That's not our argument, but we had him testify about how he reacts, what does he think, what goes through his head when he turns on the television and he sees the economic freedom fighters chanting this song. And that's part of the test for hate speech, is that this, it truly does cause harm, not merely in terms of people being physically attacked and so forth, but there's also an element of psychological harm of telling people that, you know, they are subhuman. You know, we had a lot of that in Rwanda. With calling people cockroaches that have to be stomped out and so forth. And that's hate speech. Now, you don't need to, for an argument that the cockroach comment, as everyone agrees that's hate speech. But to prove that it's hate speech, or to conclude that it is hate speech, you don't need to prove that someone actually heard that on the radio and then went out and killed a Tutsi. And in the absence of finding an actual person who can say that, then somehow it's not racist or not hate speech, because that's not the test. The test for hate speech is, could it reasonably be construed to demonstrate a clear intention to cause harm? And that's why we are convinced that this is hate speech.
I just want to read you a message from one of our listeners, Luba. He says, your guest is being disingenuous about the outcome. The case should never have been brought before the court. It was a bad decision by AfriForum, and the courts have rightfully thrown it out. Many leaders, including former President Thabo Mbeki, have explained the meaning of the song. The song has not invited anyone to violence. There's no other sinister context or intention behind the song. And to say that Malema is inciting people assumes that Africans are programmed robots. No reasonable person would assume that this song is a call for incitement. Actually, Luba, I do. I have to disagree with you. I think it is a call for violence. I can't tell you. I'm certainly no expert on the history of the song, but it's certain. Kill the Boer sounds like an instruction. But Ernst, your reaction to this message?
Yeah, I think this goes back as well to the point you made already about context. When the song is chanted, you have to look at the context, and you know there's a big difference between, for example, chanting it at a political rally as opposed to having it as part of a theatrical play or having it in a movie or something to that effect. So context is important, but also the context here in terms of the EFF and Julius Malema chanting the song is this guy goes onto a public platform, he stands on a podium, he makes a speech, he says all white people are criminals and they should be treated as such.
Right, to be fair, that's a different comment, right? Because this is about the actual song, not about...
But the point is that he makes that comment and then he says, maybe one day I'm going to ask you to go out and kill them. And then he bursts into songs. Then he concludes by chanting, kill the Boer, kill the farmer, shoot to kill. So that's a different context than Thabo Mbeki having a philosophical discussion about what's the meaning of the song.
Right.
So that's the issue that we need to consider here.
All right. And Luba saying that as a university student, we sang these songs, and I can tell you that there was absolutely no intention on our part to attack anyone. In truth, we were more likely to be attacked by the SAPS. Yeah. Yep, I was at university at the same time as Luba, and that is absolutely true. This is a phenomenal conversation, and I wish we could continue. Unfortunately, we are out of time. Ernst Ritz, thank you, Head of Policy and Action at AfriForum. It is about to go 8:30. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem. Good morning.